I'm Brian Goldfinger of Goldfinger Injury Lawyers. Is your insurance company forcing you to go back to work when your doctors say you can't? If this sounds familiar, look no further than my law firm. Visit goldfingerlaw.com and get us working for you.
Hello and welcome to the Raptors Reaction Podcast. I'm your host, William Liu. I'm joined on the line by the traitorous Blake Murphy. Blake, welcome back.
Thanks, man. I'm just sitting in my downtown loft, you know, like 75th floor. Wow. I didn't watch the game. I was just drinking and enjoying baseball as a fan. And, you know, I don't have to, I'm a sellout now. I don't have to deal with preseason basketball.
Wow. You're too good for preseason basketball. You got to save all these reps for the 905.
Yeah, I'll leave Kyle Collinsworth starting, you know. Leave those for Vivek and Lewis. And
yeah, it was a disappointing game for Kyle Collinsworth in his I don't know if it's return, but he did play at BYU, so I guess that's somewhere close to Salt Lake City. Anyway, the Raptors lost 105-90 to the Utah Jazz. A very strange game where both teams were very sloppy to start. The Raptors were the first to stop turning the ball over, so they started building this like nice little lead for themselves. Serge had a couple points. You know, Kawhi was phenomenal. Kyle was pretty good. And then second half, the Raptors benched pretty much their important guys, so Kyle and Kawhi. And the Jazz started to, you know, actually decide to play coherent basketball, and they smacked up the Raptors bench unit. I think it was like 24-4 over the first 6 minutes. Took control of the game.
Yeah, Jazz are good, man.
The Jazz are good, as it turns out. Yeah.
Joe Ingles scored 11 straight points on his own at one point.
Oh, God. Joe Ingles, man. Happy birthday, John Chick.
Yeah. 24 points in 24 minutes for Joe Ingles.
Yeah.
I did watch the game, to be clear. I was just kidding.
Wow. Well, what happened in the baseball game?
I don't know. I know it's in extra innings right now.
Oh.
But I've only been following along by my roommates yelling.
Look at the devotion to this, man. Wow, a thrilling 1-1 game, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Sounds like some wild stuff's been happening. Not as wild as Raptors Jazz, though, where you had things like Kyle Lowry and Jay Crowder. I don't know what you could get so mad about in a preseason game, but they found it. I don't know if Kyle Lowry just like maybe told Jay Crowder to control his rook, because Grayson Allen's out here like shoving Fred VanVleet.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know what you can get so heated about in a preseason game, though.
I mean, shout out Kyle Lowry, though, for taking his anger out on another player instead of on reporters.
He didn't shoot the ball well, but he was, you know, his normal Kyle self.
Yeah, I thought so.
He blocked two shots. It's amazing.
Yeah, I was going to say, he kind of straight up bullied Grayson Allen when he first came in. Because Grayson first came in, and I think Lowry immediately drew a foul on him. Kind of a cheese foul, but whatever. You know, you put your hands on somebody, you go around the screen, someone jumps up, that's going to be called a foul. And then Lowry stripped the ball away from him, like, the next three straight times down the court. It was actually pretty funny to watch, because I think Lowry did foul him at least once, but, you know, a rookie's not going to get that call against a veteran. So Kyle Lowry was, you know, beefing with Jay Crowder, which was strange. They both got double texts. Another play got reviewed. Nothing really came out of it. Was that the most crazy?
That was a weird review, man. That was like, because they reviewed it for like a hostile act, and it was just like, Crowder like brushed the dirt off his shoulders, kind of, and that's, I don't know, it was weird.
And Lowry kind of sold the actual contact as well. Do you think that was the weirdest moment, or was it CJ Miles randomly busting on a Russell Westbrook dunk?
Dude, CJ Miles, I don't know what he did this offseason. I don't know what's going on down in San Antonio or Dallas or wherever it is he makes his offseason home.
Yeah.
That 8% body fat or whatever it is treating him well. He's looking explosive, man.
Yes, definitely.
My body has told me you cannot make a change like that at like 32 years old.
Wow.
I don't know what he's got going on.
Wow.
No, it's great though. I mean, he didn't shoot the ball particularly well either, but it's nice that he can show that kind of juice. He drew a charge in the first game too. He's at least like being active defensively. Right. He still hasn't been good defensively, but he's trying.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, not a lot of players shot well in this game. JV came in and did some damage. You know, he was kind of the only positive sign to come out of the second half. JV came into the game and settled it down a little bit after Serge was getting cooked. But honestly, Serge had a, well, I would say, adventurous first half where he had some hilarious misplays. But also, I thought it was quite effective with the bench unit because he was creating some spacing, and the Raptors were able to consistently get either drives to the rim because the defender didn't want to leave Serge in the perimeter, or Serge get an open shot. And
I thought he was fine. He had an inbound violation, a travel on what should have been like a top of the key dribble handoff, a goaltend, and he missed the dunk. And all of that happened in short order, and it was kind of hilarious. But like, zoom out, and he was fine. He had 11 points on 11 shooting possessions. He turned the ball over a little bit, but you know, that's going to happen when the ball's in his hands. They had that nice run in the late first, early second with him as a part of that group. I thought it was fine. It wasn't, it wasn't the best thing he's done for the Raptors this week. That was obviously How Hungry Are You? So, but it's up there. It's a top two performance for Serge so far this week.
I was going to say, the whole entire bench unit looked a little bit off after eating all those brains. Van Vliet, 1-for-6. DeLon Wright, 2-for-7. Norm Powell, 2-for-5. Pascal Siakam.
Norm hung a minus 20 in 15 minutes, man.
Yo, he was a minus 20 in just the first 6 minutes. The next nine, he played to an even.
Every bit as good as he looked on Saturday, he looked that bad in this one.
Yeah, this was one of those performances where no assists, no rebounds. I had one of those signature transition, take it from one end to the other, but just a lot of other bad plays in between.
Yeah. He's fast, man. He's still got that.
Sure. Yep. All right. Let's talk about the positives then. Kawhi Leonard. Right. He's pretty good.
Kawhi Leonard is very good. Kawhi Leonard has reached the timeline is talking about it too much. So multiple people are DMing me just like lusting over Kawhi Leonard.
Sure.
Just for no reason. Just like, hey, I'm Kawhi Leonard's awesome. I'm like, yes, he is. 17 points. It's not even like he's still not shooting the ball super well. He was 6-for-12 today, and he canned a three, but he's still taking like a couple more non-paint twos than he probably should. Like a lot of pull-up mid-range shots. Some of the stuff's not dropping, but he is like when he decides to attack, he is bullying guys, and he could do that on the post. He could do that driving baseline. He could do that going north-south, and it's just like I know guys aren't fully engaged on defense yet, but he's had 19 free throws through two games. It's really two halves.
Yeah.
He looks pretty comfortable out there, man.
Yeah, for sure. Offensively. Defensively, I think he's not actually engaged yet. Although the whole Raptors as a team, like I thought they were just incredibly sloppy on both ends. That includes defensively. There was a lot of miscommunication where, I don't know, people were getting their coverages mixed up and stuff. But
we talked about this a little on our pre-camp podcast where it's like, yeah, they're probably going to ratchet up the aggression early on and then dial it back after. Mm-hmm. And, that might mean some mistakes early on. And today they forced 22 turnovers and the Jazz only got 6 offensive rebounds. So in terms of, winning the possession battle, they did that. And that's something that they want to do. They ended up taking 13 more shooting possessions than the Jazz, which is a really good way to win on a normal day that you don't shoot 35% and 5-for-27 on threes. So like that part was there, but their man-to-man defense and when to switch and when not to switch is still getting figured out. Joe Ingles hit 5 threes and I swear they were all wide open. Ricky Rubio, I know you leave Ricky Rubio open for those threes over screens, but like he was very open on some of his.
Yeah.
And then even like the Raptors transition game, like it's a lot of fun. And we mentioned Norm going very fast coast to coast, and Siakam had a couple of those too. But I still don't think everyone has a sense of like just when to pull back a little bit.
Yeah, Siakam in particular, I thought he was a bit sloppy today. A lot of unforced turnovers. He had 4 today.
Yeah, he had 4 turnovers and those plays are so exciting, but you got to be able to, I think that's the next step for him. He's got the half court playmaking. He's got the transition speed and that open court play. And now you got to pull them together where you can kind of see the half court developing as you're running on the break. And he's still pretty early on in learning this stuff. So I'm sure it'll come.
Yeah, for sure.
He also looks like much more willing to get physical. Like he had 9 rebounds. And he was like banging on the defensive glass more than I'm used to seeing him do.
Which is great because like the, there's clearly an imperative to him right now to get as many rebounds as possible and then push and lead the break. Because it makes a little bit more sense for him to lead the break as compared to like DeLon or even Fred. Because like Fred is kind of like the one bona fide shooter off the bench right now because CJ is with the starters. So that like, you know, but even with CJ with the bench, like you still want Siakam leading the break because he's the one that can get into the paint easier than the two of them, and also the other two are better shooters, so they make more sense off the ball.
Exactly. And then also, you know, I know people, including Zach Lowe in his league pass power rankings, want to see Siakam at center a little bit, and, you know, he's going to have to be able to rebound like he did today on the defensive glass, or otherwise you're going to give back a lot of the advantage that you're getting on the defensive end like that.
Right. Let's actually quickly talk about the center thing, because for two games in a row now, the Raptors have exclusively played either Serge or JV at center. The two of them have not played together. Monroe has kind of come in as the third string center. Again, not with either of those two big men there. It seems very much like Nurse, as much as, you know, you want to be careful in terms of taking too much away from preseason, but it seems very much like Nurse likes the idea of having just one of his centers on the floor, and he sees Ibaka as a center.
Yeah, I could see that to an extent. It also might just be that they know what Ibaka Valanciunas looks like, and they know how to play that way. Mm. So in terms of experimenting and throwing a bunch of different stuff out for the preseason, that's something, you know, we have, they have a pretty large sample of over the last, year and a half, when you include playoffs and post-deadline stuff. So that might be part of it as well. And I think they probably just want to get more experience like this. You know, I would be for it in general, I think. I think there's maybe a concern if Greg Monroe goes too long without playing, what he's going to look like.
Mm.
But yeah, I mean, I think it makes sense. You're loaded with wings and you have three point guards who require, or like who are warrant a lot of time on the court. So if you can go that way more often and not get killed on your own glass and still have rim protection, you know, it's worth exploring the limits of what you can look like that, at least.
Mm. Yeah, for sure. Last thing before we get to, three stars and the Gerald Henderson Award, can you say something nice on behalf of Kyle Collinsworth? Because, I mean, I didn't even mean to slander him. I was just like a little bit surprised when I turned on League Pass and he was there. And I'm like, what? Why is he starting? And the responses were overwhelmingly negative. Can you say something nice about Kyle, please?
Yeah, he started because he's from UT. Like, he's a hometown kid and went to BYU. And as much as I learned tonight that like BYU and Utah Utes fans like hate the other team, I didn't realize that. So some people, DeLon fans were like angry that Kyle Collinsworth was starting in Utah.
Right.
And then Kyle Collinsworth fans were hyped. I actually had one guy in my mentions too who was just like super excited that CJ Miles was starting because CJ is a former Jazz player.
Mm.
Anyway, Collinsworth did not have a very good game. He played 11 minutes, pretty empty stat sheet. I will say, you know, you see the impact his size could have at the one or the two pretty quickly. He pulls down rebounds well. He had two instances where he defended in the post, and on one of them he kind of used his length to poke the ball free, and it ended up with a turnover in the Raptors' favor. And I think he poked one more that like it didn't result in a steal, but it ate a bunch of clock up and forced kind of a reset. So you can see where the length would play. I wrote in my handicapping the final roster spot piece today that like I don't really see where he would fit with all the guard depth they already have and the fact that he's not an established shooter or anything like that. But he's got some skills. If he ends up in the G League, he's gonna, you know, threaten triple doubles every night.
Nice. Okay. Well, that's something. I mean, look, he was tossed into a difficult situation tonight. He was guarding Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah, it's tough, man. And you got to switch. I don't know if it was you I was talking about with it or Eric, but like the first game on Saturday, because the Raptors were switching a lot of stuff, even though Nick Nurse said they weren't supposed to yet, they had a ton of instances of their guards, Lowry and DeLon specifically, guarding in the post. And you saw that with Collinsworth a couple times tonight. But you know, he's not thick like Lowry, but he's got that length that like DeLon Wright does to kind of poke at post entries, or if a guy's got to slop you back down or whatever.
Right.
I do not like to be clear, I don't think he has much of a shot at all of making this roster.
Well, yeah. Let's just be real about that. Okay. Let's hand out the three stars. If there are all three right. stars to hand out, even. Number one goes to Kawhi. Okay, Kawhi goes number one for sure. Who's number two?
Jonas.
Yeah, Jonas.
Those two combined for 35 points in 39 minutes and did not use a lot of possessions.
Yes, that's correct.
And both of them hit the glass really well, too. So.
Yeah, and both of them got to the free throw line. That's 14 combined attempts. Finding that is going to be tough.
For a team that might play at a pretty brisk pace,
yeah.
The Raptors are going to play slow games, man, because they're going to get to the line a ton.
Yeah.
And if last year was any indication of these first two preseason games, they're going to hack teams a ton.
Yeah. Yeah,
shouldn't be the case on defense, but it might be if they're trying to like really force a turnover issue.
Yeah, for sure. Man, I don't know if there's a third star tonight, man. I wouldn't say three Raptors play well tonight.
Yeah, I mean, I think Siakam would be the guy if you gave one out. The turnovers are an issue, but he did some positive things too. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. If you don't want to give one out, that's fine.
You know what? I'm just going to give it to CJ Miles for that dunk. Okay. Go watch that dunk. That came out of nowhere, man. Yeah. If you tried that dunk
this is how messy a preseason game it was, is that like the two best candidates for that third star are probably Ibaka and Siakam, and they combined for seven turnovers. So it's like, it's difficult to give that out.
Serge is so funny, man. Like, when he makes mistakes, it's just so funny. But I mean, Serge did have some nice moments today. He was just offset by so many poor ones. I'll give it to CJ Miles, man.
Can I just point out that in the How Hungry Are You, that Mafuzi Man song plays in the background the entire time on
Yes. It's a great song.
It is, but it's a 15-minute episode where one 3-minute song is just being looped.
Yeah. That the actual original song on YouTube has like something like 4 million views already. It's pretty impressive, man. And the artist is not actually that big. I looked into him.
Really?
Yeah. This is like one of his like five singles out there. So one of them is about Serge Ibaka. And this is probably the most popular one. So shout out to Jaju. Or Daju,
there
I think.
There you go.
Anyway, Joe Henderson. You know, Joe Ingles is a solid player, and he's a little bit too good to get the Joe Ingles Award. Or, sorry, the Gerald Henderson Award. But, I mean, first off, his name sounds like Gerald Henderson. And also, I just think he kind of snapped tonight, man. 24 points on his birthday. Happy birthday, Joe Ingles.
In 24 minutes. And four dimes.
Yeah. No, he was dominant. He was truly dominant. Like him working pick and roll, DeLon got cooked a couple times. It's either him or Ricky Rubio.
If this were the regular season, I'd say Ingles is probably too high above the bar. But like,
right.
Royce O'Neal was the only guy off the Jazz bench that really played well. Mm. I guess Ekpe Udo, but that was in like 9 minutes, and I just love Ekpe Udo because he's Lucas Nogueira before Lucas Nogueira was Lucas Nogueira.
Wow! How dare you?
Look, man, just like a defense-first, limited offensive big that has great analytics, but nobody buys in on, so he has to go to Europe for a little bit? Come on.
Ekpe Udo had, like, a book club last year.
A book club?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, shout out Ekpe Udo's book club. I'm going to look that up.
Maybe we'll have, like a mixtape club. Everyone makes a Spotify playlist and passes it around.
Mm. Yo, that's sick, man. This guy actually had a book club in Utah, and that's really sweet. Shout out book clubs. Great way to encourage people to read. All right, Blake, thank you for doing this, buddy.
Thanks, man.
That piece that you mentioned about who's gonna win out the final roster spots and stuff like that, where did that go up, perchance?
That went up at The Athletic.
Oh, man,
you couldn't afford it.
Wow. But if I can only afford 60% of the price, what can I do about that?
Oh, man. We don't need to plug it. We talked about this the other day. It's at The Athletic where all my work is now.
Yeah, there's like a million promo codes out there. If you can't find a promo code to The Athletic, shame on you.
Yeah, people are telling me like it just pops up in their Instagram. Like, you're looking at your Instagram stories and Sham's face just pops up. It's like, hey, you want 50% off?
Yo, listen. Sham's is a very handsome man. It's a good thing to pop up on Instagram.
Yeah, those cheekbones, come on. Oh, yeah. I'm like trying to thirst like an Instagram story ad.
You can't tell me there's not like some highlighter on those cheekbones, man. There's no way they're just that prominent.
I don't know, man. He hasn't given me the secrets yet.
Okay. All right. Well.
Yeah, they didn't roll that out for me though, man. I'm not popping up with people's Instagram stories.
Soon.
Yeah.
Soon.
Yeah.
All right. All right, man. Yeah. Thanks, Blake.
Thanks, buddy.
All right.